This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And if you were watching Saturday night's Euro 2021 match between Denmark and Finland, then I think you would also have seen something that was actually really upsetting and traumatizing at the time, because Danish midfielder Christian Eriksen essentially collapsed during the team's opening match. And it was really frightening. I think if you watched it, he was attempting to come forward to get the ball during a throw-in. The ball hit his leg and he just collapsed to the pitch, and the medics were immediately signaled over by both his Danish teammates as well as Finnish players. And then while the Finnish team kind of waited on the other side of the pitch, his Danish teammates surrounded him with a human wall while the medics worked to essentially save his life. And this is not the first time that something like this has happened, where a player has collapsed on the pitch. And each time it's just so shocking and worrying. And subsequently, Denmark's team doctor, Morten Boesen, actually said that Eriksen was gone when they reached him, but was resuscitated on the field after medics had worked on him for nearly 20 minutes. It took one attempt with a defibrillator to revive him. Subsequently, he was taken off the pitch. He was rushed to hospital. He's currently in a stable condition, and the match did continue after players said that they wanted to play it for him. And what happened after was that the doctors revealed that he had collapsed after suffering a cardiac arrest. Now, where the next stage is, I guess, is that the criticism of the broadcast really came fast and furious after, because they focused for what felt like a very long time on the efforts to revive Christian Eriksen, despite the fact that his teammates were trying to give them privacy with the human wall. And millions of fans across the world had to watch this broadcast, right? Waiting to find out what was going to happen. And in Britain, for example, viewers complained that the BBC should have just cut back to the studio instead of continuing to broadcast the incident. The BBC said that they were not in control of the stream. Instead, that was from UEFA. And perhaps most upsetting of all, the broadcast also focused on the Danish team, for example, crying while they were waiting to see what happened to their team members, as well as Eriksen's partner, Sabrina Kvist-Jensen, kind of rushing down to the pitch and crying. So in response, the director who was in charge of the broadcast, Jean-Jacques Amslem, said that there are no guidelines, there's no handbook for when these sorts of things happen, and that he did tell his team to redirect the focus. He, however, said that it was important to broadcast the Danish players in tears because it was necessary to show the distress. And the BBC also apologized for continuing the broadcast. So I think what we wanted to talk about was just a couple of things. I mean, were you watching the match? Do you remember how you felt when it happened? And also, what do you think of broadcasters' responsibilities, right? Like, should we be continuing to show the feed and show what's happening on the field? Should there have been a cutaway to provide privacy? And how does it feed into the larger conversations we have around the kinds of distressing images that we see in the news on a daily basis? Let us know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Callum Gilmore, assistant lecturer at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Monash University, for his take. Let us know what you think and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it's coming up to 5:17. And today on the Evening Edition, we are talking about, I suppose, in some ways, the ethics of broadcast journalism. And this is something that's been brought up once more because of an incident that happened on Saturday in Euro 2020, well, 2021, I suppose, in which midfielder Christian Eriksen collapsed during his team's opening match against Finland. And while that was shocking enough, I think what was more upsetting for many was the fact that the broadcast continued for a significant chunk of time while people waited to find out what was going to happen. And you could see, for example, medics rushing onto the field and then performing chest compressions on Christian Eriksen, who had just kind of fallen to the ground. And A lot of viewers were upset by this. They complained about the broadcast, and that's why we wanted to look at, I suppose, what the impact is of broadcasting these sorts of images and subsequently also replaying it on news feeds over and over and over again, as we have seen for a lot of today and the weekend, essentially. And for that, we wanted to know what you think. Did you watch the match? How do you feel about, I guess, these sorts of troubling or traumatizing images, in fact, being broadcast and then repeated as well? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to find out more, we're crossing over to Callum Gilmore, Assistant Lecturer at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Monash University. Callum, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
So did you watch the match on Saturday night?
Yes, unfortunately, I was watching, yeah.
And how did you feel when you saw what happened? Because you would have been watching it live.
Yes. Look, I think that we've all undergone this collective global trauma, I think, over the past 18 months with the pandemic. And therefore, we look to events like the Euros as being an escape from the kind of everyday horror of living through this kind of experience. So when something as trivial as a football game morphs into a live streamed life or death situation for one of the participants, I think it can have a very profoundly traumatizing effect on the audience. So for myself, I was utterly horrified. And I felt at the time that the coverage was an intrusion into the privacy and the dignity of Christian Eriksen, his family, his teammates. I felt that that moment that had shifted from being a football game, into a life and death situation, that a form of mediated voyeurism had taken over, and I was not entitled to be viewing this private moment, a private moment being played out globally across multiple media platforms. So while I was shouting for the footage to be cut and for the feed to be returned to the studio, I was also desperately hoping for the best possible outcome for Eriksen. So it was a very surreal moment. It was an uncomfortable moment. And personally, yes, a quite confronting and traumatic experience personally, as I imagine it was for most audiences.
Yeah, I felt the same. And I think that that's reflected also in the kinds of complaints that the networks are getting. And in response to all this criticism, the director responsible for the feed, Jean-Jacques Amsellem, basically said, you know, there's no handbook for these incidents. And I just wanted your reaction to that statement, and also whether you think there should, in fact, be a handbook of some kind and what form that might take.
Look, I think it's very easy in hindsight to criticize those involved in split-second decision-making involving what is a fluid and evolving live situation. This isn't scripted entertainment. It's not Netflix. The director and the broadcasters are not immediately aware about what's unfolding before them. How we see this event is entirely dictated, therefore, by the director. And when you think about it, that's quite an awesome responsibility for them. So they are dealing with gatekeeping this event without a reference base or a code to adhere to. However, agreeing on a global standard across multiple media industries for such events would be very difficult. So, for instance, there are different cultural sensibilities involved in how nations view this kind of coverage. So any kind of agreed global standard could be problematic policy-wise. But certainly individual rights holders and broadcasters such as UEFA can introduce such a code for host broadcasters. And I think that this will be welcomed by production staff because they are dealing with this fluid, evolving situation with no reference base. So I think it's easy to criticize broadcasters, but not entirely fair to do so. A code of conduct would give them that framework to base decisions on during such instantaneous traumatic events.
So something else that kind of stuck out to me was that he said that, At one point, they focused, even though they had kind of tried to refocus, take away the feed from looking at what was going on with Christian Eriksen, they did flash back to the Danish players in tears because it was, and I quote, necessary to show the distress. And I guess the question here is, how do we decide what is or isn't newsworthy in these situations?
Again, I think for many of us, viewing the grief of the players, the family, the crowd becomes uncomfortable. And that comes back to the difference between live, instantaneous decisions versus hindsight. So part of the issue here is that decisions were made so soon after the event, for instance, where clearly many were still in a state of shock, that in hindsight, many of those involved are now questioning their own decisions. So, for instance, Denmark's coach now says in hindsight that they should have not have played the match. Mm. The players were most likely not in any condition to make that decision at that time, and they may have likely played out the remainder of the match suffering from a form of PTSD. They may suffer from the repercussions of this experience well into their lives. We don't know. But clearly, we can all agree that players are not commodities and that the well-being of those involved should be paramount. And therefore, decisions about restarting matches should be made not as commercial decisions, but more as humanitarian ones. And that means treating those kinds of cases with compassion, treating them with consideration, consulting with the stakeholders involved, and making a decision after careful consideration over time, not instantaneously.
What might be the larger repercussions of showing traumatic moments like these, especially to a global audience?
Well, there have been studies that have demonstrated, for instance, that mediated exposure to traumatic events can cause deep psychological trauma for viewers. So, for instance, this year is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, a shockingly violent event that was broadcast live in its entirety. I think 60% of Americans viewed it live. So researchers have hypothesized that repeated exposure to traumatic images in the media, like 9/11, for instance, can have long-lasting negative effects on both mental health as well as physical health. So they say that this kind of media exposure could result in stress responses, triggering various psychological conditions linked to increasing health problems over time.
And of course, another aspect is that beyond the immediate broadcast, what happens in the moment, these images then also repeat over and over on the 24-hour news cycle, on social media. Is this an approach that we need to rethink?
Well, unfortunately, we live in an age of unprecedented voyeurism. It's the panopticon come to life. And as you said, we live in a 24-hour news cycle. We live also in an image-centric media environment. So shocking footage becomes news, whether it's geographically relevant or not. So content is also circulated via social media and reproduced on news bulletins. When everyone carries a camera in their back pocket, the likelihood of witnessing shocking or traumatic events also escalates. So, for instance, in the past, an accident would occur, news companies would race to the scene to film the aftermath, and reports would be filed post-event. Now we see footage of horrendous incidents recorded by bystanders, by witnesses, ubiquitous CCTV. And so we are exposed to traumatic imagery at an unprecedented level today. And unfortunately, that's tied into commercialism. It's tied into economics. The old media saying used to be, if it bleeds, it leads. So when news organizations are struggling financially on a global basis, there will always be a pressure, there'll be a tendency to delve into sensationalist content in order to drive hits, drive viewers, drive readership.
Callum, in closing, do you have any final thoughts to leave us with? Do you think that there are going to be any lasting changes or any reconsidered ways of doing things after this weekend's events?
I absolutely think there will be. We tend to know that history tends to tell us that once these things happen, then we see retrospective action taken. Unfortunately, it often takes a traumatic event for policy, regulation, reconsidering what to do to occur. And I think, I was thinking when I was listening to your news bulletin that this actually dovetails quite interestingly with another current news story. And that's the announcement that there's going to be a scripted film made about the Christchurch mosque attack. So that particular terrorist attack was live streamed on Facebook, demonstrating the horrendous capabilities of social media and camera technology. When they're combined, they can have quite detrimental effects. And the announcement of a narrative film version of that incident, barely 2 years on from it, has also sparked outrage from victims, families of victims, who view it as exploitative. They view it as an intrusion into their personal grief. So again, we have issues surrounding the media and this blurring of lines between what is public and what should be private. But I do believe that there will be positive outcomes that come out of this.
What do you think is the first step towards kind of, I don't know, getting somewhere with this, right? Because it's very difficult when we talk about the media worldwide. There are different ways of doing things. We're talking about large networks, small companies. I don't know how to organize or how to get everybody on some sort of standard.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said that in terms of a global standard, that could be very, very difficult. But in terms of individual organizations, I think that that's where the progress can be made. So, for instance, I have no doubt that UEFA will be reviewing this and how they go about broadcasting such incidents in future. And that means that those who are working in that industry will have been briefed on this. They'll understand what the procedure should be. And I don't think we'll have incidents on the same level as this. I mean, of course, these things have happened before. The death of Ayrton Senna in Formula One, which was live broadcast across the world. There's only a certain amount you can do when you're talking about live broadcasts. And that is part of the issue. This is live, but at least with consultation, I think that we can have policies at an institutional level that will make sure this doesn't occur at the same kind of level.
Callum, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Callum Gilmore, Assistant Lecturer at the School of Arts and Social Sciences of Monash University, talking to us about the live broadcast of Danish midfielder Christian Eriksen collapsing on the pitch over the weekend. Let us know, you know, do you think that we need to reconsider the standards of what we broadcast? What is newsworthy? Did you watch the match? How do you feel? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.